I want to share a message about toughening up. Now, don't misunderstand where I'm going to be going. I hope to explain that a little bit later, but I don't mean toughening up like being arrogant and overbearing toward people. I'm talking about being toughened up in the Lord. Amen. Turn with us, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. I'm going to read just the one verse, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13. Apostle Paul writes, and he's writing to the Corinthians. He had a lot to say to the Corinthians. Hope you'll read those two epistles sometime. It'll be a great eye-opener for today. A lot of things going on in Corinthians then are going on today. And so he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and he says this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men." In other words, act, live like adult persons. He says, then be strong. You know, I don't know where we ever get the idea. I guess we do. I don't know where from, but where we ever got the idea that everybody's supposed to like us? I bet you've thought that, haven't you? I had a lady once in a church I pastored far away from here, okay? Set that matter straight. She was our organist of the church, and one day she was upset with me, and she said, called me on the phone, she said, "I'd kill you if I thought I could get away with it." I thought, well, she probably doesn't like me. I told her, I said, "Sister, you've already killed me in your heart. You better go back to the Word of God, because it says if you hate your brother without a cause, then you're guilty of murder already." But nonetheless, she didn't kill me, as you know, we're still here. But we get the idea sometimes that everybody's supposed to like us. Everybody's not going to like us. We need to toughen up and understand everybody's not going to like you either. They didn't like Jesus, did they? Everybody didn't like Jesus. They accused him of all kinds of things, didn't they? We've got to remember that the servant is no greater than his Lord. Jesus said, "They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. They hated me, they're going to hate you." Some people are. Jesus, in fact, reserves his greatest blessings to his children who are persecuted and reviled. Let me ask you to turn with me to look at a passage where he said that. Turn back into the book of Matthew chapter 5. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 10 and verse 11. And Jesus pronounced a blessing on those who are reviled and persecuted. Matthew 5, verse 10. He says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake," or "for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Beloved, listen to me carefully. If you're thin-skinned, you're going to have trouble all through your life. Now, why do I say that? If you're thin-skinned, you're going to have trouble all your life, because you become an automatic target for the enemy if you're thin-skinned. Now, we know that, don't we? Endurance is the secret, beloved, not popularity. The world's got that all turned around backwards. Endurance is the secret, not popularity. Now, we've just finished an extensive study in the life of the Apostle Paul. And I want to just kind of refer back, as we've studied many, many weeks on Paul's life, refer back to the Apostle Paul and see some of the things that he experienced in his life. Everybody didn't like Paul either, did they? Some wanted to kill him, and eventually he was killed. Paul was deserted by his friends in prison in Rome. He said, "All have forsaken me. Demas has gone back into the world, and only Luke is with me." So he was deserted by his friends. He had ugly letters written to him from some of the Corinthians. We're in this very particular passage. They wrote him some ugly letters, accusing him of not being worthy to even be called an apostle, accusing him of this, accusing him of that. Paul experienced a great disappointment from the believers in Galatia. He talked about the fact that started off in the spirit, now they want to be made perfect in the flesh by the law. So he was disappointed with the Galatians. Paul was mistreated at Philippi. We studied all about that. Paul was mocked in Athens. They said, "Paul, much learning has made you mad. You're a crazy man." So he was mocked at Athens. He was imprisoned more than one time in Rome, and eventually Paul was beheaded in Rome. Looking at all this, let me ask us a question. What do we have to complain about? My goodness, what do we have to complain about? Well, this verse he shares here with the Corinthians, and the Lord shares with us, is going to help us. He paints us a picture of some things that helped him toughen up his life as he lived for the Lord. He says four things in this particular passage, this verse, that really helps him when he was under so much adversity. From the Damascus Road till he was beheaded in Rome, Paul had a whole lifetime there of just adversity, persecution, hatred, and all kind of adverse things happened to him. How did the world, did he stand up under it? How did he toughen up? He gives us his answer right here in this verse. Listen to it again. He commends the Corinthians, and God commends us. He says this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." What would Paul be saying to us to help us today to toughen up in the Lord's work? Now, couldn't we all use some help in this area? Now, tougher times are going to come, beloved. You can be sure of that. So we need to toughen up. So Paul gives us his secret to how it worked in his life. And if it worked in his life, beloved, it'll work in your life and work in my life too. Four things he shares with us we need to do. First of all, he says this. He says, watch ye, what I'm going to say, be alert. Didn't Jesus say, watch and pray? In the New Testament, we're admonished more than once to be aware of Satan's devices that he uses against us. Beloved, listen, we can't afford not to be alert, not to be aware of Satan's devices, can we? Why is that? Why is that? You need to understand the devil is out to get you. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's still true. The devil is out to get you. Now, to be sure, he can't get your soul. That's secure. So what is he after in your life? He's after God's deposit, what God has put in your life. God's put us all here as Christians now. I'm talking to saved people. God's put us here as a spiritual seed with the potential of reaping a great spiritual harvest for our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil knows that, and so he's out to get you. He'll try to destroy your influence, destroy your testimony, destroy your life. He'll try to hinder any way that he can and every way that he can to keep you from doing and being what God wants you to do and what God wants you to be. So that's what he's after in your life and mine. Well, we don't have a choice. We've got to be alert. We've got to watch, as Paul says. We've got to pay attention to Satan's devices in our lives. There's so many. You're never going to know all of Satan's devices, his tricks, his con plans, and all kind of things he plots and plans against you. You may see some of them, and when you think you know them all, there'll be one pop up you've never seen before, something you've never experienced before in your life. It's going to come up. Look at Paul's life if you don't believe it. Just look at Paul as an example. From the Damascus Road when he got saved until he was beheaded in Rome many years later. Adversity after problem and persecution and beatings and shipwreck and stoning and being left for dead and being bitten by a venomous viper and survived the snake bite. All kinds of things happened to him. All kinds of devices the devil used against him. But did it work with Paul? No. So Paul says to us, be aware, keep vigilance, watch ye, he says. So how can we do that? How can we be alert? How can we watch? How can we do that? Well, understand, first of all, we can't. We can't. The devil's smarter than we are. He's stronger than we are. We can't do this within ourselves. We can't, but God can. God did it in Paul's life. If he did it for Paul, he'll do it for you. Paul said, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. So if it worked in Paul's life, it'll work in your life, it'll work in my life as well. How did it work in Paul's life? Well, Paul had the Holy Spirit of God living in him that would guide him and guard him all his journey here on this earth. The same thing's true with us as a Christian. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. He's doing the same thing in your life he did in Paul's life, or he wants to do that. He wants to guide us and lead us in the right paths, the paths of righteousness. And he wants to guard us from all the devices that Satan would use against us. So you see, we have the same credentials, you might say, that Paul had. He guides us, he guards us just like he did the Apostle Paul. You've got to remember, beloved, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm talking about the devil. Greater the Spirit of God is in us than the devil who roams about in this world, like Peter says, a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. So you got to be alert. You got to watch, as Paul says. But Paul says something else. He doesn't just say to us, watch ye, or be alert. He says, secondly, there in this verse, he says, stand fast in the faith. Do you believe you can do that? You can stand fast in the faith. I'll tell you what you can't stand fast in. You can't stand fast in your circumstances. Now, why do I say that? Because your circumstances and mine are all just fluid. They change all the time, don't they? Sometimes our circumstances are good. Sometimes our circumstances are not so good. And sometimes our circumstances are even bad, aren't they? So you cannot put your faith and your dependence in your circumstances. They never build a solid foundation upon which you can stand. So you know you cannot depend in your circumstances. I'll tell you something else you can't depend in. Other people's opinions. Oh, we need to hear that clearly. Why do I say that? Why can't you depend on other people's opinions? Well, if you've lived very long in the human existence, and you come to adulthood and you see what reality really is, you know how fickle people's opinions are. They can change in a whim, can't they? They may be this today and absolutely reverse of this tomorrow. You can't depend on other people's opinions. If you do, what you're going to do is you're going to put your faith in their opinions. Can't do that. You can't depend on other people's opinions. You can't depend on your circumstances. Now, what is it then that you can depend in? Paul says, stand firm or stand fast in the faith. That's the only thing you can stand fast in. It's like the example of the story in the Sermon on the Mount, the latter part of those chapters, about the man who built the house on the sand. You remember the story. And another man built his house on the rock. Well, the winds came, the rains came, and the storms came and blew against the house on the sand, and it was destroyed. The same winds, the same rain, the same waves beat against the house that was built upon the rock, and that house stood. So what is the analogy in this? What is the very moral of this story? It's this. You've got to build your life on the rock, amen? And there's no other rock other than Jesus Christ. We studied about some rocks this morning in Sunday school. Jesus is the rock. He's the solid foundation upon which you build your life. If you put your faith and your trust and your life and your soul into His hands and build your life upon that solid rock, those same circumstances that other people face are going to come to you. Amen? The same things happen. The same winds, the same rains, the same circumstances, those people's opinions, all those things that other people face are going to come to you just as surely as it does to them. Because the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Which means everybody's common in that respect. We all get the same circumstances sometimes to certain degrees. We all have the same things to face in life. But the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But, the Bible says, with that temptation, God will make you a way of escape What is your way of escape? It's to build your life on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him, and you can stand, and you will stand. Have you built your life on the rock? Have you founded your life on the rock of the Lord Jesus? If you say yes, then you've got something to stand on. This world's on fire one day. If you haven't, you don't have anything to build your life on. You can't stand fast. You can't stand firm unless you build your life on the solid rock of Jesus. And then you can stand fast. Beloved, listen. You may not be experiencing a storm now, but I'm telling you, the storms are going to come. They're coming. They may be near, they may be far out, but I promise you, storms are coming in your life, and when they do, listen, not if they do, but when they do, you better have something you can build your life on to stand against those storms, or your life's going to be washed away like the man's house that was built on the sand. So Paul admonishes us, be alert, stand fast in the faith. But then Paul says something else. It kind of sounds strange in this passage. He says, quit you like men. Quit you like men. That literally means act like men, live like adults. That's what that means. Quit you like men. Start growing up in the Lord. You know, I have pastored for 40-some years over three states, met a lot of people, but I've never met any more childish people sometime than I've met in churches. Now listen, I'm not being critical, I'm being honest. Some of the most childish people I've ever met in my life, I've met in the church. Act like babies. You know how babies are, don't you? Bless them, we love them. But they're going to have their way as far as they can. If they don't get their way, they're going to cry and they're going to whine. And they're going to keep on crying and keep on whining until you hear them and until you address their problem. There's people in the church just like that. They don't get their way. Something happens they don't like. Some decision the church has made, they don't like the decision. Sometimes they paint church walls and they don't like the color, so they just start whining about this and that and the other. And I promise you, they'll let everybody around them know when something doesn't suit them. Amen? I could write a book on the childish behavior I've seen and experienced in the church. But Paul says, quit you like men. Start acting like men. Start living like adults. Beloved, listen. It's time for us to toughen up in the Lord. Amen. And grow up in the Lord and stop feeding on just the milk of the Word and start feeding upon the meat of the Word. That's what he's saying right here. Beloved, listen, I'm not trying to fuss at you. I'm just telling you the truth. Acting childish in the church when outside is a battle raging, it won't cut it. Acting childish in the church when there's a battle raging all around us, that kind of behavior won't cut it. We'll not get it done. It's time for all of us to grow up in the Lord. Amen? Toughen up. Get off the milk. Get on the meat. Act like men. Act like adults. Let me leave you this thought. If you're still committing the same things you did 25 years ago, and you're expecting some different results, I'll say like the old countryman, it ain't going to happen. If you're still doing the same things you did 25 years ago, and expect some different results, you're not learning. You're not growing. My dad told me, he said, son, listen, you look at other people and you'll learn something. He said, you'll even learn what not to do sometimes. No use making mistakes if you can't profit by them, is there? I read something the other day in a little thing on my desk that my daughter-in-law gave me for Christmas. It said, look at other people's mistakes. Learn by them. It says, you'll never live long enough to make all those mistakes yourself. That's a pretty good thought, I would say, wouldn't you? Paul says, grow up. It's time for us to act like adults, spiritually, on the meat of the Word of God. Then he says a fourth thing. He says, be strong. Do you believe that weakness is an open invitation to the enemy?
Yes.
Spiritual weakness is an open invitation to the enemy. Weakness is always a precursor to surrender. It is. Weakness is always a precursor to surrender. Now listen, we have to all come to the same conclusion as Christians. And here it is. Listen. Quitting is not an option for us. Amen? Quitting's not an option for us. I've had folks just blow up and throw up and quit and walk out and never come back. That's defeat. Quitting's not an option for Christians. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, Paul didn't quit. Did he? Listen, Jesus didn't quit. Did he? So quitting's not an option for children of God. We cannot quit. Do you remember the story? I'm sure that you do. When Israel was getting ready to cross over Jordan and go into the promised land, God said to them, when you cross over into Canaan, the promised land, He said, the land's yours. I've promised it to you, and I'm giving it to you as a gift from God. The land's yours. I've given it to you. But when they crossed over Jordan, what did they face? The first thing was Jericho. They faced walled cities. They faced strong opposition. They faced experienced warfaring people. They had to conquer that land. They had to take that land. And the Lord said, you're going to have to drive out the inhabitants, the Canaanites, from the promised land. But I've given it to you. You're going to have the victory, but you've got to drive them out. You've got to fight for the land, He said. Well, Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians 15:57. He said, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, we've already been given the victory. But with that victory, we've got to fight. We've got to be tough. We've got to watch. We've got to be alert. We've got to stand fast in the faith. And we've got to be strong in the Lord. So we, like Paul, have to toughen up. Let me ask you something. Have you toughened up? Have you? You know if you have or not. Would you be willing to toughen up in your life? If you're willing, God will help you. God will see to it, so to speak. God's a provider. God's a sustainer. And He promised He'll help you have the victory that He's already given you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us, beloved, we need to toughen up. There's never been a day until this day that the church people need to toughen up like we do today. There are storms coming to the church. There are storms coming to your life and to my life. And we better have something to stand on when it comes. And this is all you're going to have that'll get you through. It got Paul through. It got Jesus through. And I promise you it'll get you through. It'll get me through too. Now the invitation is twofold. Number one, if you've never founded your life on Jesus Christ and come to believe Him and trust Him and repent of your sins and make Him your Lord and Master of your life, now's the time, this is the place, this is the very hour to begin to build that life on the firm foundation who is Jesus Christ. Say, well, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I've been a Christian a long time. Well, listen, have you toughened up? Are you tough enough to meet what's coming down the road? I don't know what's coming. I just know it's coming. Amen? Are you tough enough? Do you need to toughen up some more? Do you need to be more alert or aware than you've ever been before? Do you need to stand fast more than you ever have before? Do you? Do you need to act more like a godly saint of God than you ever have before? Do you need extra strength in your life to stand when the storms come? Well, it's all there. God promised it to us. All you have to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Paul says, it'll work for me. It'll work for you. Let's pray. As Sister Pam comes and Amanda comes to secure our invitation, Lord Jesus, thank you that you don't leave us in this world defenseless, but that you're our commander-in-chief, and you're the chief cornerstone as we studied today. You've won every victory, every battle. You've never lost a one, and you're never going to lose one, Lord, and so you fight for us. And you give us the strength to be alert, to stand fast on the Word of God, the foundation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you give us the growth that we need to act like adult, spiritual adults. You give us a strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So I pray, Father, today for that one who may have never experienced faith in Jesus Christ, never experienced a new birth. They may come today and say, Pastor, I want to found my life on Jesus Christ. Maybe there are those who have been kind of floundering around in their lives, doing some of the same things, getting the same results. Nothing seems to be better. Maybe, Lord, they need to come and confess that before you and ask you to help them toughen up spiritually to face the storms that are going to come. Whatever that need may be, I know, Lord, your grace is more than sufficient to meet it. So as we extend it in the precious name of Jesus today, we ask you to help us respond so that we can get the help that we need, as Paul shares with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.